Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Back Porch Writer Podcast, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. It's live, fun, and informative. Each week, I chat with writers, editors, and industry pros to give you and me a heads up about this whole new awesome publishing world. Back Porch Writer is about creating the life that you want through writing and publishing. Are you ready to tap submit? Let's explore the possibilities together. Welcome to Back Porch Writer.
Welcome to Back Porch Writer, the show for writers, about writers, and writing. I'm your host, Corey Miller, and today is August 23rd, 2017. And it's been a busy week already. So this is the second week of school officially for the kids, and my first week of subbing in a local preschool. I work as a, when I'm not doing all the other things I'm doing, I've been substitute teaching for a few years now, but I also substitute as a paraeducator. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with this, you go into various school situations and you help the children because you're a support to the teacher. So for me, this means that I'm going in and subbing and working with ELL, you know, English language learners, or I'm subbing with children who have special needs. That's usually what it is. And so for the next 2 weeks, I'm parasubbing at a local preschool in our public school system. And I've been there in the past and all that, so I'm accustomed to it. The majority of the children that are in that particular school have some sort of special need. So it's a very interesting place to be. It can be very tiring, but it's a very interesting place to be. So the other day, I was sitting with a group of the kids, and they're eating lunch, and there's like six of them or something. And one of them, this little boy, is really just savoring every moment of his lunch experience. I mean, I kid you not. He would take a bite of a carrot dipped in ranch dressing, and as it approached his mouth, his eyelids would start to close. And then when it met his lips and he could just taste it, this itty-bitty grin would form on his face. And then he'd just chew. And then after that, he'd slowly open his eyes. He did this repeatedly. It was one of the best, most beautiful examples of savoring a moment that I have witnessed in years. It has been a very long time. And so I thoroughly enjoyed meeting this little boy this week and getting to know him. He does this at every lunch period, just so you know. So that was like Monday or something. Today's Wednesday. I fully expect he'll do it Thursday and Friday and all next week. Great little kid. He just turned 3 years old. So there's a lesson to be learned there, right? You know, we can learn from the three-year-old about savoring moments in your life. So that's my little tidbit to share with all of you. I hope everything's going well in your world. Tonight, we're talking about dark fantasy with Andy Pelequin. He's been on the show before, but I'm going to have him reintroduce himself and tell us about his work and sort of bring us up to speed because he's released another book, of course, which is why he's here. But if you haven't read the first one, then you have no clue what's going on. So we'll kind of get y'all caught up and then entice you, and then you'll want to go over and check out his books and buy them because that's what's going to happen. I already know that. So Andy, welcome to the Back Porch Writer Show.
Thank you so much for having me, man. With an intro like that, I really hope I can live up to the very high standard you've set for me.
I'm sure you can. You'll be all right. So before we start, though, on the books, I noticed, I was over on your website, and I noticed you were having some sort of party, and I don't even know if you already did this, but you apparently hit 200 people in your, basically, fan club. Is that right? Your author fan thing?
Yeah. So yeah, I've got a group on Facebook. It's Andy Pelequin's Fantasy Fiends. It's where I hang out with all of my readers and my fans, and we just have fun. You know, we post different things every day. I do live readings of my stories and stuff like that. And you know, we were growing. I started it in April or May, and I said, okay, once we hit 200, we'll have a big party. And so we hit 200 a couple of weeks ago, and so we did a whole big party. It was fun. Everybody in the group was divided into sort of the houses of the Night Guild. The Night Guild is the thieves guild in my story. And so everyone had their own house. You know, there was the assassins, and then there was the poisoners and the thieves. Mm-hmm. And we all did, you know, a big competition to see who could, you know, share the most or post the most. And the winners get to create characters that I write into my story. So we just do fun stuff like that all the time.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. So yeah. What was your show rate? How many people participated?
Well, we had, I mean, there was 200. Right now the group is at 230, and most of them participated and joined in and posted and shared and played games and things like that. And, yeah, we probably had about 150 people, 200 throughout the weekend. I mean, sorry, throughout the day.
That's awesome. So, you know, other authors will want to know, how did you manage that? How did you get the fans that you've been able to get?
Well, that is a very good question. I wish I could tell you. You know, it's been – I released the first book in my dark fantasy world 2 years ago, almost to the day. August 21st, 2015 was the release of the first book. And I've just been, you know, interacting with people, both fellow authors and random readers, doing launch parties and giving away hundreds of copies of my book and just sort of putting myself out there, being as genuine a human being as I can, you know, connecting with people on a personal level. And people really seem to appreciate that. That resonates with them very well. And then, of course, when they read the stories, they're like, oh, not only is he a cool dude, but he writes these awesome stories. So it's sort of a 1-2 punch, I guess.
Very cool. All right, so we've covered that because that's a little bit of a marketing thing that other people, authors, would want to have known. But let's back up for people who also like dark fantasy or maybe new to it and want to know about your story. Start with the first book and bring them up to speed so that they know what we're talking about for the second one.
All right, so the first book, Child of the Night Guild, is about a girl who is sold to a thieves guild, the Night Guild, at the age of 8. And it basically shows how thieves are trained, but then how an innocent child is turned into a criminal, like the process of converting a child into a criminal. You know, there's so many people in prisons or in the justice system today who we see them now and we say, oh, they're bad people now. But then had we gone back to them before they were abused or endured hardships, we would have seen a very different person. So this story was definitely the look at a transformation from a child who, you know, is really innocent to someone who is willing to steal and kill for a living. Mm-hmm. And so the first book, Child of the Night Guild, follows her from the ages of 8 to 18. And Thief of the Night Guild, the second book, it shows her at the age of 23 after the things have happened to her. You know, she's sort of come into her own as a thief. She's grown more confident. And she basically pulls off an Ocean's Eleven-style bank heist, the first bank heist in her world. And it's much more epic. It's much more action-packed. But it's still got that same visceral look at what it's like to be a woman in this male-dominated criminal society, how these people, there's just sort of they're criminal and ruthless by nature, not necessarily because they're evil, but because of their, you know, they're the product of their environment. It's definitely it's a fascinating action-packed adventure book with plenty of psychology thrown in.
All right, so plenty of psychology thrown in. What's your background?
My background, I have no background. I was born to missionary parents, and I was raised in Japan till I was 14 and then moved to Mexico. And I got really fascinated with psychology just 2 or 3 years ago when I was diagnosed with Asperger syndrome, which is a form of autism spectrum disorder. And so I was like, okay, why is my brain making me so different from everybody else? By researching Asperger's, it sort of led me to all the other things the brain can do, you know, the psychological, the neurological, the emotional, all these different disorders and syndromes and traumas. And so it's been such a fascinating journey, and every new thing that I discover leads to some fascinating new character or some twist, some trait that makes these stories so fascinating and more than just, you know, a great story, but a real insight into these people.
So the main character is Ilana, right?
Yes.
What sort of traits does she have that came from your experience of your diagnosis with Asperger's?
Well, she is we're going to say neurotypical because that's the proper word for it. Not normal, neurotypical. She has no syndromes. But then her father was an abusive drunk. Her mother died at a young age, and her father blamed her for her mother's death. She was sold to this thieves' guild and subjected to pretty harsh brainwashing techniques, which involve sleep deprivation, the terrible diet, overwork, emotional abuse, things like that. So she's been basically physically and emotionally abused her whole life. So she is the product of her environment. She becomes hard and cold in many ways. You know, she has the one or two people that she really cares about, but for everybody else, she won't, you know, nothing will stop her from getting what she wants.
So give me a couple examples of characters that you have in the story that have these traits. Because part of the curiosity I have is I work with, as I mentioned in the very beginning, top of the show, I work with children who have special needs. And so I'm frequently, including today, working with children who are autistic. And they're not necessarily at Asperger's. But I have worked with children also who, as a teacher, who are diagnosed with Asperger's. And it's interesting to me that you've brought this up because I've never personally come across a book that did that, that actually the author has that diagnosis.
Well, that's
why I'm curious.
That's what sort of, I mean, that's what I like to say makes my fantasy unique. This story doesn't have so many of those characters. There is one character who is sort of a high-functioning autistic person, sort of like me in many ways. He has a couple of those nervous traits, like his fingers never stop moving. He's always fiddling. And his eyes never meet the people who he's talking to. He's always looking just like right over their shoulder, which is very common with people. It's something that I do. I have a hard time meeting people's eyes when I talk to them. But then in this particular series, not many, but then my other series with the half-demon assassin, the last Bucellari series, one of the characters has Williams syndrome, which is sort of an extreme naivete or innocence where he doesn't understand that someone would want to do him harm. So he's very much a contrast to the cynical demon killer, and then he has this kid who's just absolutely innocent who has no concept of danger. So it's a fascinating contrast there. Or an urban fantasy story that I will be releasing as a novel series in the next year features a 17-year-old girl who loses her parents in an explosion, and she has two twin younger brothers. One of them loses his right hand; he's an amputee, and the other one is autistic but nonverbal. And so, using these different sort of disabilities. But then because it's urban fantasy, the disabilities manifest as their sort of special abilities. The kid who loses his hand as a phantom limb develops a hand of fire. And the autistic child, he is given this super excellent pattern recognition ability, sort of like how autistic children and adults, they're very good at recognizing patterns. This child is able to learn an angelic language by studying the runes etched into his cage in a very short amount of time, or he can learn patterns to bring down a house with one punch or an explosion or something. You know, like his pattern recognition thing enables him to be special.
So with your books, what's the age range for readers?
Well, so far all of my books, I'd put them 16 plus, with definitely leaning more towards adult, because they do explore some pretty dark themes. As I mentioned, this child who's 8 years old, she endures some pretty horrible physical and emotional abuse, and it's not something I would want teenagers to have to be exposed to. But then I will be putting out other stories that are geared not necessarily towards young adult, but which are able to be read by younger adults without the darker themes, like this urban fantasy series. It's definitely going to be set, or it's going to revolve around these young children and teenagers, or more heroic fantasy. But that's all in the future. For now, definitely adult.
You know what's interesting about what you're telling me is either last year or the year before, I was substituting. Actually, it was the year before. I was subbing for a sixth grade classroom. So that's, you know, middle grade-ish, right? And they were reading a book that was based on true events. And when I sat down to say, hey, give me the synopsis of this book, tell me what this is all about, they very eagerly told me everything that was about, including a young man who's high-functioning Asperger's. And he loved the book.
Oh, wow.
And in this book, the young boy, if I recall correctly, his father killed his mother, murdered her. And then things just got, you know, worse from there, essentially. But it's based on something, a true event. So you're telling me this is, you know, you gear it towards 16 or whatever. And I'm thinking, I don't know, these fifth and sixth graders were just reading 2 years ago this book like that. And when I was reading, you read, as a teacher, you read aloud to them and they're, you know, listening to the book because it's the read aloud book. And I was disturbed by it. So I'm reading it and thinking, what in the world are you having these kids read? You know, I cannot remember the name of the book.
Yeah.
So I guess from that perspective, I would say, you know, some of what you're writing, it may just depend on how the language you're using and how explicit it is. But the topics that middle graders are being exposed to these days, apparently, is a little open. And this, just to give you an idea, was also in a Catholic private school.
Whoa.
So exactly, right? So I was really shocked. I thought, what in the world? I was really surprised. And I will say pleasantly surprised. I mean, at the end of the day, I thought, well, this is kind of awesome. Oh, it looks like we had a little bit of a blip, and Andy's going to have to call back in. His call dropped. Hopefully, he'll be able to call in just the next couple minutes. But anyway, I'm talking with dark fantasy author Andy Pelequin, and he's written several books. The first in the series we're talking about is Child of the Night Guild, and the second is Thief of the Night Guild. Both of which you can find over on Amazon.com, along with several of other stories. What we were discussing, for anybody who's coming in a little late, is we were talking about one of the things that he writes about, and not pointedly necessarily, but he brings in traits that are characteristic of people with high-functioning autism, Asperger's, people who have different abilities. And what I mean by that, not abilities like superpower hero stuff, but more like, okay, so they've lost a limb and now they have a fantasy limb, you know, phantom limb, and what happens there, and maybe they're really good at pattern recognition, and so how does that become sort of their super ability or their extraordinary ability, or however you want to phrase it. So that's what we're talking about right then. So I'll give him a minute or so and see if he can call back in, and otherwise go over to Amazon. Check out his books. He's been getting some great reviews for his stories. And, you know, if you're into dark fantasy, this will be a good place to start. He's very personable. You can go over to his Facebook page and find out more about his fantasy friends and all of that that are in his podcast group and following him for his books. I should mention that, actually. He's involved with a podcast, and it's called the Fantasy Fiends podcast. He's been doing that, it looks like, since 2014-ish, March 2014. So like a year after I started this podcast, he started working with that podcast, which is pretty cool. So in any case, you can check that out. You can find Andy over on Twitter, Andy Pelequin. And he, as I said, he does some great fun stuff on his Facebook page when he's doing any sort of release, or like recently he said, you know, he had hit 200 people in his fan group. So they had this great Facebook party and competitions. His books are divided into within the book, Child of the Night, and then of course Thief of the Night Guild and all that, they're divided into houses. And so when he did the fantasy, the Facebook thing, they were divided into houses. And I think he may have mentioned that earlier, but those of you catching up, that's kind of where we were. This is probably him coming back, so let's check in and see if we can get him out. Andy, are you there?
Yes, so sorry about that.
It happens. It's all right. I covered.
Yeah. Oh, good.
It's what I do. You know, I'm part actor, part improv person. Actually, I'm not part actor at all. Improv, that I could probably do. No problem. I can just kind of ad-lib and keep going. Make stuff up.
That's awesome. I wish I had that skill.
Yeah, I can just do, you know, I'm a writer. I can make stuff up. All right. So tell everybody where I told them you have, you're on Twitter. Is it Andy Pelican? At Andy Pelican?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything, okay. Everything on social media and Amazon and BookBub and my website is Andy Pelican. Everything is that. So just Google my name and you'll find me.
Okay. And do you have what, I shouldn't even say do you, what events, promos, anything do you have coming up?
Good question. I know I have the Indie Scribe convention in Burbank, California in October. There is a possibility that I will be going to Salt Lake Comic Con in September. Not very sure about that one, but, you know, fingers crossed because it would be awesome. I love Comic Con. And I think that's it. Oh, I've got a book release in October, October 27th. I'm sure I'll be running some sort of party, release party, launch party. I always like doing those on Facebook, so I'm sure I'll be doing something.
Very cool. So before I let you go, another thing that other authors are always curious about, when you're talking about these events that you're going to, whether it's Comic-Con, I happen to like those too. I get distracted a lot, though. but when you're going to these things, how are these events for you in terms of marketing? How useful are they?
Oh, they're the best. I mean, I wish I could do everything at these live events in person because I just love the interaction with people. And it's, you know, there's people right there walking past your table or your booth or wherever you are. And so they're expecting some sort of interaction. So I get a little bit crazy. You can talk to people who've met me or seen me at conventions and they'll just be like laughing at me because I'm a 6'5" tall guy, big, loud, boisterous, sometimes a little hopped up on caffeine. So I do crazy things. Like I invented limited edition high fives to pass out to people at the conventions and people love it. I even figured out how to autograph those high fives and just doing crazy, silly stuff like that. I love it. And people love it too.
Oh, geez. I need to talk to you more about marketing and the crazy things you do.
Yeah.
And then I can, you know,
yeah,
steal them. I mean, borrow them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, you know, I have fun on Facebook, but I really wish that I could do more things live because that's really where I do best. Just talking to people, interacting. The fact that I'm so large, I mean, you know, helps, but it's just so much fun to talk to people, and especially at these Comic Cons and stuff and book conventions. I love comics. I love books. I love all things geeky. So it's just great to be able to share my love of those things with other people. And so, you know, I don't have to talk about my books. Obviously, I'm there to try to sell books and meet new people and get readers. But it's great just to talk to people about, you know, whatever TV show they're into, whatever comic book mm-hmm. they love or mm-hmm. movie or book. It's my favorite thing about being an author.
You know, it's so crazy. I don't watch TV. I haven't for, I think it's been almost 4 years now. But I do watch,
wow.
I'll find series and things that I like on Netflix or on Amazon Prime. Like, I'm a Doctor Who person. My favorite doctor is the 10th Doctor. So I'm rewatching
Ooh.
That whole series.
Good.
But I'm like waiting for other things to come on that I'm interested in. And the other day, the whole crossover Defenders thing came on Netflix with Luke Cage, Jessica Jones,
yes.
the Iron Fist. I didn't care for the Iron Fist. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't get through the whole season.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it. And then who's the fourth character? Why am I blanking on that? Oh, Daredevil. And I like Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil.
And so, you know, 3 out of 4,
oh,
that's
yeah.
not bad. And so I've been watching the
yeah.
Defender series. So, yeah, I can completely geek out at a Comic-Con about a few things, for sure. So I get
yeah.
where you're coming from on that. I totally get that. And it seems like the people, when I go to them, the authors who are better able to do that make the best connections. They just absolutely do. And I don't go as an author,
yeah.
by the way. I go as Back Porch Writer, And as a regular attendee, okay. that's how I'll go to these events because I'm looking for people okay. who could be on the show, right? And if the authors cannot okay. engage me in a really meaningful way, I'm thinking, yeah, you can't be on the show. That won't work. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, some authors are great behind a keyboard, but then they don't have the sort of the ability to talk with people in person. I mean, as someone with Asperger syndrome, it's definitely sort of a fake it till you make it thing. I force mm-hmm. myself to be social and mm-hmm. to interact with people. And then as soon as I'm done, as soon as the convention closes, you know, I'll retreat back to my little bubble of, you know, I'll go watch my TV show or go have dinner or go back to the, you know,
right.
my hotel. I'm not the kind
that
of person who
very
can just socialize all day long. I'm very much, yeah, yeah. But it really is a good thing for me to sort of challenge myself to interact with people more. And it definitely helps me to sort of say, okay, I've got this syndrome, but I'm not going to let it define me.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool. I mean, there's one of the young men that I mentioned that has the Asperger's and everything. He's in eighth grade now. And he actually, and he
okay.
started this early, he's part of speech. So he's on the speech team. And he goes and does those sorts
okay.
of things. Funny. He's such a funny kid, you know, and it's that same thing. He's trying to challenge himself to go outside of this diagnosis that he happens to have, you know. So he's always
yeah.
fun to talk with and a very nice kid to just and intelligent kid, you know, to have conversations with. So I thoroughly enjoy that, but I get what you're saying. Now, I was talking about people, talking
yeah.
about your podcast. You have on your website the Fantasy Scene podcast. And I mentioned
oh, yeah.
it while you were absent for a moment. So can you tell people a little bit more about the Fantasy Fiends podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Fantasy Fiends podcast is basically me and a writer buddy having fun an hour every week talking about fantasy novels. And we have fun, lots of laughs, but we also try to get into sort of the deeper topics, not so much focused on the writing, but more the actual story, like the meat of the story. We talk about the religious aspects or the philosophical or psychological. For example, tomorrow's episode, we're going to be talking about how the villains or antagonists of these stories are very much the product of their environment. You know, they start out sort of like the Child of the Night Guild concept, where they start out innocent, they're children. They have, you know, they know no evil, but then because of their circumstances, the people around them, the things they're forced to do, they end up being the villains. So we like to
mm-hmm.
get into sort of the deeper aspects of fantasy, because that's the thing that really interests me. And then, of course, the thing that makes us truly awesome is that we do live readings of the guests' books. And now, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I wanted to be an actor when I was younger. I had a theater teacher who was very influential in my life as a writer. And so we do these live readings, and I get to pull out all of my accents and my goofy voices, and we do the narrators and the different parts, and it's just so much fun. It's my favorite. We started the podcast just so I had an excuse to do that live on air.
What's your best accent?
You know, I can do a lot of different British accents. I can do Scottish. I can do a lot of the American accents, but I think my favorite one to do is the German accent.
Okay, why is that?
I don't know. I just love the way that the German accent sounds.
All right, well, that's good for people to know that you like that particular accent. So,
yeah.
Andy, I want to thank you so much for being with me here on Back Porch Writer again. It's always great to speak with you, and I am looking forward to having more conversations with you. Maybe next time we should have one just about marketing and the crazy things you do. Maybe that should be what we do.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Could you just write that up,
yeah,
please,
for
and
sure.
send it to
or
me?
We can talk about, yeah, or we can talk about disorders. The book that I'm releasing in October is a short story collection featuring different disorders, PTSD, autism, fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
Sort of used as sort of the magic of these stories. Like, instead of actual magic, it's
mm-hmm.
these different disorders, but because it's in a fantasy setting, psychology isn't a thing. So these people, you know, one of those is about a soldier who's trying to cope with life after his military service, and he has PTSD. So he's become a tailor, because having
mm-hmm.
the very detailed themes to focus on has given him something to help him, you know, take his mind off of the memories that are plaguing him, or just things like that, just putting these psychological disorders in a fantasy context. So that's something that I'm really passionate about.
That sounds awesome. Oh, my God. You know, honestly, with that particular one, let me know when you've got that together, because I'd love to pass that along to a therapist friend of mine and see if she could use some of that with
for sure.
People that she's working with. And anybody else, because I know a lot of people who are in that particular field. So let me know. But in case,
Ooh,
it was a pleasure having
definitely.
You back on the show.
Thank
and good
you
luck
so much
with everything
me.
Else. You're welcome. And everybody needs to check him out.
Thank
Andy Pelsman, pretty easy to find. Check him out on Amazon. And, of course,
wherever
great books are sold, because I'm sure he's everywhere. All right. Thanks, Andy. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, people, go check him out. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. Go over to Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, wherever you want to buy books. Go look up Andy Pelsman and see what he has to offer you, especially if you're into dark fantasy. If you're not, but you're curious, this series, you know, it's interesting. You need to check it out. His reviews, awesome. And, of course, if you like it, leave a review. If you don't like it, leave an honest review. Don't be mean, because that's just not even cool. But leave a good review. By good, I mean honest. That's all I'm saying. Have a great night. Until next time, pull up a chair, sit a spell, and write. Thanks for listening to Back Porch Writer. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe via iTunes so people just like you can find the show. If you've got comments, questions, or want to be a guest, visit backporchwriter.com for details. I'm your host, Corey Miller. Until next time, pull up a chair, sit a spell, and write.